rebuke them none here. He, all he did was encourage them, wanting to strengthen them, and wanting to help them in a mighty way. And tonight I want to talk about overcoming obstacles in your life. Overcoming obstacles that's in your life. I go around this room tonight, everybody's got an obstacle they got to face. Man, I've heard prayer requests of cancer coming back, things happening in their life, people that are sick, people that's got COVID. There's obstacles that come our way. And you say, preacher, what am I going to do? How am I going to overcome that obstacle in my life? Tonight, can I say to you, you'll only overcome obstacles in your life by the Word of God tonight. The Word of God, when you look at it, it'll lead you to pray. It'll lead you to repent. It'll lead you to get right. It'll lead you to have a forgiving spirit. It'll lead you all the way through when you look at the Word of God. As long as I stay in this book and I do what this book tells me to do, my life lines up exactly the way it should be tonight. Tonight I want to say overcoming obstacles. If you would stand tonight as we reverence the reading of God's Word, Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 8, the Bible says, and here's what Jesus said to the church at Philadelphia, I know thy works, behold I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, let no man take thy crown. You know tonight you can let individuals take your joy. You know tonight you let people steal your joy, they rob your joy, they rob your crown, they rob what God's wanting you to do. And can I say to you tonight, church folk will rob you quicker than anybody. All right, let's move on. Behold, I come quickly and hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Father, once again, we bow in your presence tonight. Lord, I thank you that we was able to gather around Sister Belinda tonight and lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the touching. I thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost that moved through her body a while ago. Lord, we claim in victory and we claim in healing in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Lord, I claim that same healing over all these prayer requests tonight that has been mentioned tonight. Lord, I pray you to heal their body. Father, I pray that lady that got 3 months report, Lord God, I pray that you'd show up and show out. Lord, you'd make that longer than that, Father. Whatever her desire is, I'd pray that if it be in thy will that you would strengthen her days and you would lengthen her days, Father. Lord, I pray tonight you have your will and way in this place. Lord, I'm asking you right now to do a mighty work tonight. Father, I love you and I thank you. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say be all about you tonight. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name and all of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated tonight, overcoming obstacles that are in your life tonight. Tonight as we get here, the church at Philadelphia, if you look at your notes, it says the church at Philadelphia had a little strength according to the Word of God. If you look into the Bible there, he said that you had little strength. And I wrote this down. I'm so thankful that it's not about the quantity of strength I have. It's not about the quantity of strength that I have that just shows how big a man I am. But I thank God tonight it's about the quality of the strength that I have. The quality of the strength that I have in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what? Tonight I've seen a lot of feeble people that has come in and out of this building. Their stature looked feeble. They ain't got a whole lot. By strength looking, they didn't have a whole lot. But I want you to know tonight, their strength was very strong in the Word of God tonight. But tonight, Philadelphia, here we came and they overcame obstacles that was coming against their church. And I want you to know tonight, we can do that as well tonight as a body of believers. But tonight I want to look at how do we overcome obstacles that come in our life tonight? How do we overcome obstacles that come in our life tonight? Today as I got up and got about my day, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? Who would you have me to witness to today? And as I was standing there at a certain place today, as this man come up, I've been wanting to witness it to. He's 1 year younger than me, and he came up to where I was at, and me and him was talking, and everybody had got gone, and nobody was around, and I know he doesn't go to church. And I just asked him, I said, hey man, what about coming to church sometime? I said, you've known me for a long time and I've never invited you to church. I just want to know, would you be willing to come to church? I said, I know Easter's coming up and a lot of folks try to find a church or come to church on Easter, and that may be what you're going to do. And I'd love for you to come to church sometime. I'd love to invite you to come to church. And he looked at me dead in the eyes and he said, you know, I've been praying about that. He said, but I got some kids. And I said, yes, sir. We had 38 kids probably up front Sunday, and they was all around. He said, how'd y'all handle that? I said, just the best we can. Amen. I said, them little kids and all around the front there, and God's just blessing the church. He said, well, I'm glad you brought that up. Let me tell you what happened to me, and this is why I don't go to church no more, and I just want you to know this. I said, okay, you tell me why you don't go to church no more, and I'll make sure that if I can, it won't happen if you come to where I'm pastor. I to the best of my ability, I'll try my best not to do that. And here's what he told me. He said I had visited a church, and I had went for several weeks. And he said, and this man, I'm telling y'all, his exact words, what he told me, man, you're talking about the obstacles that we got to overcome as a body of Christ. He said he was sitting in there, and his little boy had got a little ill, got a little fussy. And he said he was a young little boy, and said, right in the middle of that sermon, that preacher quit preaching, said he looked over at him, and he done his finger like that, and he said, hey, we got a nursery you can carry that baby to. If you can't get that baby quiet, there's a nursery back there that you can carry that baby to. He said, Brother BJ, you know what I did right then? I said, man, I ain't got a clue what you done, and I sure don't want to know what your wife done. Amen? He said, what we done right then in the middle of his sermon, I grabbed my wife, grabbed our stuff, and we got up and we walked out. He said, I have never felt humiliated like I did that day at church. He said, and I've not been back. And I said, how many years ago has that probably been? He said, it probably been 10 to 15 years or even longer since I've stepped foot in the church. And I said, I want you to know tonight, that's not my place to do that. Hey, that's your kid. You raise that kid. You do what you need to do with that kid. And if I can't preach over that kid, I need to step down and quit doing what God's called me to do, because them kids are welcome to the body of Christ. Tonight, I want to tell you, there's obstacles in the body of Christ tonight. There's obstacles. And when people come in amongst us tonight, there's some things that we must be ready to do. And number one tonight, when they come in amongst us, here at Philadelphia, they had brotherly love. They had love one for another. But tonight, I want to show you in verse number 8, number 1, they received the Word of God. If you're going to overcome obstacles in your life, if you're going to get that Spirit off of you and get where God would have you to be, number one, you can't just read the Word of God. Reading the Word of God will do you no value. Even atheists read the Word of God. You must receive it. You've got to receive that. If you bring a plate of food right now to me and you set it down right here and I don't eat that food, I don't take that food, I look at that food, I examine that food, I like that food, I know everything about it, but I don't take it, that food will not do me a bit of good. The only way that food will do good is if I receive it and I digest that food. So tonight I see this in verse number 8. Here's what he said in the Word of God about overcoming obstacles. Number one, they received the Word of God. He says this. He says, and the key thing there is, thou hast kept my word. Look what he says there in verse number 8. And has kept my word and has not denied my name. That first verse we want to look at there is, thou hast kept my word. You say, preacher, what did they do with the Word of God? Number one, they held that word. When they received that word, they held it. It got out of another man's hand. It got off of somebody else and it came to them. They held that word. James 1:21, the Bible says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. James said, get away from all that filthiness out of your life as a child of God, and superfluity of naughtiness. And you say, what is that superfluity of naughtiness? It would be this. It would be a superabundance of naughtiness that is in your life. It would be an abundance of things that you're doing that's not right. It would just be a chaotic mess, if you would. He said, I want you to get away from all filthiness and all naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. He said, I thank God tonight that you have kept my word. You received it and you have kept it tonight. You're hanging on to that word. I ask you a question tonight. Are you holding the Word of God tonight? He said, not only do you hold the Word of God in James 1:21, but in that same verse, in verse number 8 of the text, we see that they didn't only hold it, but they hid that word. If you go back in the Bible here, they had kept that word, they was holding on to it. And Psalm 119, verse 11, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Tonight, you have to hide that word deep down in your heart tonight, because old devil, he's done nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. What does he want to steal? He wants to steal that that word of God from you. What does he want to kill? He wants to kill your testimony. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. He wants to take it away from you tonight. And when you get to holding that word, you've got to hide it in your heart tonight. You just enjoy that word. He says tonight in Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I do know this tonight. I sin daily, and you do too. But I want you to know tonight, I don't sin like I used to sin. I don't do them willful sins. I don't walk in that willful place. I don't get to that place that I desire to sin. Why? Because I hide that word in my heart tonight. Tonight, if you receive that word and you'll hold it and you'll hide it tonight, you're still going to mess up. You're still going to sin. But that word is a barrier between you and the world, between you and Satan. It is a barrier tonight. Yes, sin's going to come to our life. Yes, we're going to mess up. Yes, we're going to sin. But that word tonight, I have found out tonight, that word has helped me more than anything in my life. Number one, you've got to receive the word of God to overcome obstacles. You've got to receive that word. Number two, you've got to believe it. You've got to believe it. There's one thing to receive it and take it. There's something else, you got to believe it. Tonight with Sister Belinda, as soon as you said, my back is hurting, excruciating pain, and I'm dizzy, as soon as you said that, I'm telling you, it's like a light bulb went off, and it should have everybody in this room. As soon as you said that, and you said, I want the church to pray for me, at that moment, we get to that place, we received the word, we've got it. But by faith, I believe that if I come over there in the name of Jesus, nothing to do with Brother BJ, nothing to do with my power, only power I have is what he's invested in me from heaven. I come as a group of believers, we believe, lay hands on you, and we pray. And by faith, we believe she's going to come out of that pain. Amen? He said, preacher, I believe half of that. Well, don't get in a circle. Preacher, I believe some of that. Well, don't lay hands on. Don't you get to that till you believe that. It hinders a lot of folks when you don't believe the whole written word. Tonight, can I say to you, number one, you've got to receive the word, but number two, you've got to believe the word of God. You've got to believe it for what it says tonight, and you've got to hide that word in your heart. And when old Satan comes after you, you rebuke him in the name of Jesus, and you fight him with the word of God tonight. Look what he says here, if you will, in verse number 8. Not only did they receive the word of God, but they believed the word of God. Look what he said at the very end of that text. Here's what he said, that verse. He says, and has not denied my name. He said, you ain't denied my name. You've received it and you believed it. There is things in this word tonight, Brother Bradley, that I have received and I believe and I stand on it tonight. I don't waver on it. I believe it and I stand on it. Amen? And tonight, when you get a word from God and you see it in the Bible, I'm not talking about a word from outer space. I'm not talking about a word that was spoke out way over yonder and it don't line up with the word. If it don't line up with the book, it ain't from God. If it don't line up with the book, it ain't from God. Now, you done thought it up. You done thought it up if it goes against the word of God. It ain't of God. But when you receive a word and you believe it, and it's in this Bible, and you put it to practice, number one, tonight, he said, you have not denied my name. I wrote this bold tonight as a believer. You have no reason. You ain't nobody in this room got any reason to be ashamed of Jesus. If you're born again, you've got no reason to bow down at your workplace. You've got no reason to bow down, cower out, and sink down and just get all. You've got no reason. You've got all the proof to stand bold. You've received salvation and you believe he saved your soul. You've received that word, you believe that word, and you have no reason to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. He died for you. There's no reason to be ashamed. I want to give you a few things here. He said, and has not denied my name. Here's what he said. The saved will not be ashamed. Brother Eric Kruth, Romans chapter number 10, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13, correct? If you're at Broken Life and you're going to lead somebody to Jesus and you take that King James Bible and you lay it down there, what are you going to turn to? Romans chapter 10, right? That's where you're going to go to. You're going to go, you're not going to the Romans road, you're going to the Bible, amen? Because I've heard people say about, we ain't going to the Romans road, we're going to the Bible. And in that, when you lead somebody to Jesus, there's a verse in there that sticks out. And here's what it says. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 11. In that plan of salvation, when it was laid out, here's what it says. He said, for the Scripture saith, not Brother BJ, the Scripture saith. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, on who? On Jesus. Whoever believes on Jesus shall not be ashamed. shall not be ashamed. Somebody gets saved, born again, washing the blood of Jesus, number one, saved, won't be ashamed. They're going to hold on to that word and they're not going to deny it. They're going to come up from there. They're going to come up a new man, a new woman, a new person. They're going to come up from there. I see the saved will not be ashamed. You know, we've had kids come up here and we've had them get saved, and we've had adults come up here and get saved. And the first thing I tell them, and I say, okay, I'm going to turn you around and we're going to talk to the congregation. This is an obstacle in your life that you've got to overcome. You just got saved. You received the word. You believed it. Now you're saved. You got to this place. And what's the first thing we do? We turn them around. Why? Because we don't want them to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. We don't want them to be ashamed of what they've done in their life. And that first step tonight, I want you to know, is when they turn around to you as a congregation and they say, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, that is a milestone in their life. That is huge. You say, well, preacher, it ain't that big a deal. Do you know how many people don't want to do that? You know how many people don't like to do that? You know how many people says, I don't want to get before the church. I don't want to say nothing. I don't want to. No, but you got to. You ain't really got to in front of this church, but you got to confess Him. You got to confess Him somewhere down the road. You can't be a Christian and hide out and say, I'm just going to be saved and go to heaven. Nobody asks me no question. Satan will pull you right out, son. He's going to see if you're going to deny Him or not. You can't hide out. A child of God cannot hide out. When you receive that word and you believe it tonight, I see tonight the saved can't, but I also see a servant and a soldier of Jesus Christ cannot be ashamed. Paul, Romans 1:16, Paul was this right here. He was a soldier and he was a servant. And he was not ashamed. Let me show you this tonight. Here's what he said tonight. Overcoming obstacles tonight in your life. A servant or a soldier of Jesus Christ will not be ashamed. Romans 1:16, the Bible says, for I am not what? For I'm not ashamed. For I'm not ashamed. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't be ashamed of it. You can't be ashamed of it. If you want to overcome stuff in your life, just start putting it out there. I promise you, it'll move on you. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I see tonight, number one, we see they received the Word of God. They believed the Word of God. But thirdly tonight, in verse number 11, they loved the Word of God. I don't understand how a child of God can go 6 months without reading their Bible. I don't understand how a child of God can go 3 months, a month, 30 days without reading their Bible. I don't understand how a child of God can lose their Bible and not even know it's gone until somebody brings it to them. I mean, I can't get this. You say, well, it's because you're a preacher. No. I hated the Bible and reading the Bible until I got born again. And the Bible became my best friend. I got in love with the Word of God. I've got to have it. Every day, I got to have it. It ain't nothing about me. It's all about Him. I believed it. I received it. And I love it. You say, well, preacher, I don't love it that much. Keep reading it and you'll get in love with it. You just keep reading it and you'll get in love with it. You say, well, I don't really understand it. You ain't going to understand it unless He enlightens it. You can go to any translation you want. You can go to any translation you want, dumb it down, or water it down, all you want to do. But until God opens your eyes on it, you will not get it. It's spirit tonight. It's truth tonight. It's the Word tonight. And when He opens that up tonight, you're going to come in love with the Word of God tonight. He's going to change your life. And you can't get away from it. You got to want it tonight. Look in verse number 11. Man, that's just overcoming obstacles in your life. Well, don't you love it when you got something going on and you open that Bible up and there it is. And your answer's right there. You ain't got to dig no more. You ain't got to go to Google. Amen. You ain't got to ask nobody. You just open that book up, Brother OG, and there it is right there. Exactly what you, any problem you got in your life, I guarantee you, I promise you on the authority of God's Word, it's in that Bible. There's not nothing you'll go through in your life that's not in that Bible. Everything you go, any answer you need. Here's the problem. We don't want to dig it out. We don't want to dig in it and find the truth. So we just soon just live anyway. Live miserably. Instead of getting in love with the Word of God and Him show you what you need to do. Show me what I need to do. Let me show you this, how they got in love with the Word. Look in verse number 11 tonight. He said, behold, I come quickly. Now, this is the church at Philadelphia. Hold that fast which thou hast. He said, you're going to have to be in love. You're going to have to hold on to what you got. You're going to have to hold on to what you got. And my first point there is, hold what needs holding. Let go what don't need hold on to. A lot of times we're trying to hold on to stuff that we don't need, and God's trying to pry our stuff. Stuff. I remember that word Brother Lee spoke. Stuff. And you know what? We got stuff, and he's trying to pry our fingers off of it. He said, you don't need that stuff. He said, what you need is the Word of God. And he said, it'll move on you. Any obstacle you got, the Word of God will take care of. Look, 2 John 1:8, here's what he said. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. In love with the Word of God tonight. I wrote this down. Hold on when discouragement comes. They were here in the hot seat. Satan was right on their heels. But you listen to me tonight. The Lord told him, said, you just hold on. I know where you're at. I know your strength. I know what you got going on. I know everything about you, Brother Boyd. He's bigger than any problem you'll go through. He said, I've got you right where I need you. You keep being what I've called you to be. Hold on when discouragement comes. Matthew 13:7, the Bible says, and some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. Don't you let nothing choke your joy out. Don't you let nothing choke the life out of you in this place. Don't you, whatever's choking on you, it ain't of God tonight. He's not going to choke you out. That's not Him. He's going to convict you. Chastise you. He's going to challenge you. He's going to call you. He's going to do all these things, but He's not going to choke you. He's not going to do that. If anything's choking you, if the burden's too heavy, you can't bear it. That burden's not of God. He said His burden was light. His yoke was easy and His burden was light. So if there's a burden on you that you can't bear, somebody put that on you and it wasn't God. Maybe you put it on yourself. I don't know. Maybe somebody did, but maybe you did. I heard Adrian Rogers tell this story, and this is so true, talking about how that you receive that word, you believe it, and then you love it. Said he seen this mama one time, and said this boy was standing there, an older man was standing there, and this mama was right up there on her, and had her head right there on it, right there in public. And he thought, well, how silly. Said he had his head right there on it, and all over his chest, had his ear. Thought, how silly. And said, but later on he found out the whole true story. Said that her son had got killed. And he was on the transplant list. That man needed a heart transplant. They took that heart out of the... Whoa, glory! Took the heart out of the son and gave it to this man. And said that mama, every time she'd meet that man, you know what she'd do? She'd go up there and you think it might be weird. But if that's your son's heart, she put her ear right there on that chest. And that she could hear her son's heartbeat. Doo-doo, doo-doo. And Adrian Rogers said, I just wonder if God comes down sometimes and puts His ear right against my chest. Right against my chest. And hears His son beating inside of me. If He died for me and I love Him that much, God ought to be able to put His hand right there on my chest and feel that beating. Doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo. So, preacher, how's He going to do that? You got to receive it, you got to believe it, and you got to get in love with it. In love with what? That Word of God. Let me show you the next thing they did there. Not only did they do that, but they obeyed the Word of God. You can receive it. You can believe it all you want to. Oh, glory. You can love it, but they got to come a time in your life you're going to have to obey it. You're going to have to obey it. If you don't obey it, number one, it shows you that it shows you, not me. When I don't obey that word, it shows me, not you. It shows me. Number one, I don't love it the way I said I did. When I don't obey it, number two, it shows me that I don't believe it like I said I did. And number three, when I don't obey it, it shows me real clear that I didn't receive it the way I thought I did. When you receive a word from God and you read that book and it comes clear to your life and you've got an obstacle in your life and you come to that obstacle and you're here face to face with it and the word says do this and you say, No, you got to do it this way. No, I'm not doing it that way. No, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to be prideful. I'm going to be arrogant. I'm going to do it my way. Don't expect God to be there for you. I'm going to do it my way, preacher. The Bible says I need to do it this way, but I don't really like that way right now. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to be bullheaded. I'm just going to run right through it. that shows that you really didn't receive it when you don't obey it. As I read this tonight, the church at Philadelphia got no rebuke because they not only loved it, but they obeyed it. They obeyed that word. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Let me show you this in the text tonight. They obeyed that word. Look what he says tonight as they obeyed that word. Verse number 12. In him that overcometh, they obeyed. To him that overcometh. Obstacles in your life, you will overcome them when you obey the word of God. I promise you, when that book tells you to do it, and you do it the way the book says, you will overcome them obstacles that's in your life. To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. They obeyed the word of God, and the proof there is because it's to him that overcometh. Anybody can tell you they've received the word, correct? And there ain't nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do when somebody tells you they received the word of God. There's nothing you can do when somebody tells you they believe the word of God. You got to take them at the word. There's nothing you can do when somebody tells you they love God. You got to take them at the word. But there is one thing. When they don't obey the word of God, it shows all three of the ones before was not lined up with the word of God. When you obey that book, it shows where you're rooted and fruit will start being produced. Tonight as we get here, you say, to him that overcometh, what will I receive by obeying the word of God tonight? Folks, tonight, I don't know about you, but I want to obey that book more than anything else in this world. I wrote in a minute I'll show you. Let me just show you this. Number one, in verse number 12, it says, you will be a pillar in the temple of God. To those who obey Jesus, Jesus will honor them. To those who obey, he'll honor you. He'll honor you if you obey him. Number two, you shall never go no more out. When you obey the word of God, there's something comes alive in your life. I can't explain it to the best of my ability. I can't explain it if I had to. All I know is when I obey him and I do what he says, it's just a peace that passes all understanding. It's just when I obey him. When I obey him. When I obey him. Look what he says here. Shall never go no more out. That shows the safety that is in Jesus Christ. When you obey him. When he tells you what to do in his book, it's going to work. And number three there, we see, number one, you'll be a pillar in the temple of God. A pillar is something that you can rely on, something that stands, something that's going to be there. Number two, there's safety. But number three, did you know this? He's going to write some things upon you. What would he write about you? Faithful, unfaithful, obeyed, not obeyed, love when it's good, love when it's not good. What would he write on you? I thought about that as I wrote that down, but let me show you what he said he's going to write here to those who overcome, or those who obey the word. One, he says this, he said he'll write upon you the name of God. It's going to be written on you, the name of God. Number two, he says, number one, I'll write upon him the name of my God. Number two, he says, and the name of the city of my God. What's that going to be? New Jerusalem. So how do you know that, preacher? It tells me right there in the text. It says, I'll write upon the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. Number three, here's what he said. He said, I'll write on you the name of Jesus Christ, the new name of Jesus Christ. He says, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Why would he do that? Because you belong to him. You're his. You've overcome. You've made it. I wrote this down. Obstacles will come in a believer's life, and we must overcome them. The only way to overcome them is by the word of God. I believe that tonight. I don't believe tonight that obstacles, and this is what I believe, reading the Bible, I don't believe you'll overcome obstacles by prayer. I don't believe you overcome obstacles by prayer. I don't believe you overcome obstacles by any other thing but by the word of God. Because the word of God is going to show you how to pray. There's been times I've prayed, and I know when it come out of my mouth, it sure wasn't the will of God. I may be off in left field tonight with y'all. I'm sorry if I am. There's been times I prayed, I know that wasn't the will of God, but I prayed it anyway. And when I got done, I said, Lord, if it be thy will. And I knew when it come off my tongue, it wasn't the will of God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But the Bible, the Word, teaches me how to pray. The Word teaches me how to fast. The Word teaches me how to receive. The Word teaches me how to believe. The Word teaches me how to love. The Word teaches me how to obey. And tonight, my last thing that I got wrote down on that paper is this. What you do with the Word of God. You can lie to anybody in this room. I promise you, you can. And nobody will know it. You lie to anybody in this room. You wear the best mask, the best fake there is. I'm telling you, it's not hard to lie and get away with it. It's not. People do it all the time. But tonight, can I say one thing? You can't lie to God. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. And He knows tonight if you're obeying Him or not. When obstacles come, the way you handle them and the way you react to them will show if you're obeying the Word of God. My last statement, I believe what I wrote down there, me not being up there, is this. What you do with the Word of God will determine one day what God will do with you. I said, preacher, you believe that? I believe 100%. When I hold that book, I'm holding God. When I hold that book, I'm holding the Spirit of God. That's the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And I'm holding that book in my hand. I'm reading that book. That book's at my home. That book's everywhere. That book's there. And it must be very important to a Christian's life. Very important. One thing my daughter, and you said, preacher, you shouldn't be that way. I can't help it. It's not going to do with being a preacher. Did you read your Bible today? She said, that ain't none of your business. You know how much business we get into our kids? We stick our nose everywhere else. Why'd you spend this on your debit card? Well, I mean, we stick our nose everywhere else. And here's what I tell her. I said, you read your Bible today? Sometimes, you know, it's, yes, Daddy. And sometimes it's, Daddy, I'm... I said, hey. But you know what she does sometimes, Miss Patsy? She'll say, Daddy, did you read your Bible today? And I'll say, yes, baby, I'll study. She said, I didn't ask you, did you study? There's a difference. I say, yes, no, not yet. I'm going to get to it. So there's a difference in reading that Bible and studying it and reading that Bible and letting that Bible read you. Yes. Yes. Mama, she would say, Mama, did you read your Bible today? She said, what is that? What is that? I want my daughter to be able to overcome obstacles. I don't want her to always have to come to Daddy and ask Daddy, Daddy, what should I do? I want her to be able to go to that book and say, that's what I'm supposed to do. I want to hold her accountable. I want her to hold me accountable. And I want you to be held accountable. That we obey that Word of God. We obey that book. And tonight, I don't know about you, but there's so many obstacles in my life that I have to overcome. And there's so many that I've not overcome. I see them out there. They just ain't come yet. But they're out there. How are you going to handle it, preacher, when you get there? I don't know. But I sure hope I handle it by the Word of God. I sure hope I handle it by the Word of God. Tonight, if you got an obstacle in your life, you remember this. You obey what that book says, and you'll be like the church at Philadelphia. There'll be no rebuke. There'll be nothing but praise. I don't know about you tonight, but next week we're going to talk about the church at Laodicea, and that was a church that made God sick. And I do not. You know what? The building didn't make him sick. It was the people inside of it. This building will never make God sick. This ain't the church. I'm the church. You're the church. And I never want to make him sick. I never want him to get to the place where he's sick with me. I want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. Lord God, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that as we receive that word tonight and we believe it and we take it in tonight, Lord God, and we love you for that word and what you've done in our life, how you sent Jesus Christ to die on that cross to give us life. And Lord God, we obey that book. It's not a list of things to do, but it's just what we do, Father, what you called us to do. Lord, just to obey you, to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Father, my prayer is tonight that every man, woman, boy, or girl that's under this roof tonight, that we just find ourselves trusting and obeying. And Lord, tonight, when I trust you and I obey you, everything else will line up. I thank you for that tonight. Bless your people tonight. Watch over them. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. Amen.